This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it, the lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7, The Game.
Rockets won't foul. Curry will hold the ball, dribble this out, and the ball game is over. The Warriors will go 500 on a road trip. It's not exactly how they drew it up, but they get the win, a bounce-back win after a disappointing game last night. 105-98, the win over Houston. The Warriors have now won 16 of the last 17 against the Rockets.
A win's a win. It wasn't pretty, but the Warriors got the job done, and they go into the All-Star break with a nice win. You got to feel pretty good about this if you are the Warriors. You had a chance to make it a laugher, to make it a blowout win. You allowed Houston to get back in this game, and honestly, this felt like so many other games the Warriors have played and lost this year. They have a great showing for a half plus a quarter, a half and another half of a quarter, and then things just go downhill. It snowballs. They lose a big lead, and they ultimately lose by like 7, 8, or 9, or 10 points. That felt like where we were headed tonight, but the Warriors bucked that trend, and they found a way to win on the road against a really good basketball team, a game where you really, really felt like you needed this one. You wanted to go into the All-Star break with a little bit of good feelings on your side after what was a really rough loss last night in Dallas against, considering injuries, a much worse team than you played tonight. And you were doing it tonight off of a 37-minute performance for Stephen Curry. Last night, he plays another 35 tonight, and he managed to get the win. 105-98 is the final score. Welcome into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you. Whew. Deep breath. Exhale. A win's a win. The Warriors are above 500, headed into the All-Star break. They do not play for another 8 days. It's time to rest up. It's time to get Jonathan Kuminga healthy, and it's time to make a run in the second half. And you know what stood out to me first, maybe more so than anything else? And again, we welcome everybody in. Mark Randy with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up. You can join the conversation by giving me a call, shooting a text, 888-957-9570. I also have our YouTube chat up, youtube.com/957thegame. I see all of you guys already chiming in. Empire, East Smoke, Epic, Allen, a few others. Appreciate everyone for tuning in already, both on YouTube and on the radio. What stood out to me, or what maybe stands out to me about this one is, again, like I was talking about at the very, very beginning, this is a game that felt like so many other games that the Warriors had already played this year. The only difference, the Warriors found a way to win this game. And I'm not saying this is only because of Jimmy Butler, but I said this and I stand by it. I said this the day the Warriors acquired Jimmy Butler. He would not let the Warriors lose games like this. And he wasn't great by any stretch. Jimmy Butler in this game played 34 and a half minutes. Pretty big minute total for a guy who, as he talked about, doesn't even have his wind yet. 19 points. He was a volume shooter, but really who on the Warriors wasn't a volume shooter tonight? 6 for 15 from the field, 1 for 4 from downtown, but 19 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. But he had a couple of big buckets down the stretch of this basketball game, and when things really got rough, how did the Warriors quell some of the Houston momentum? They said, hey, Jimmy, get us to the free throw line. Hey, Jimmy, take this entry pass down low, draw a foul, allow us to catch our breath, allow us to set our defense, allow the crowd to just stop screaming, get to the free throw line so we can calm everything down. Part of what's made the Warriors such a volatile team this year and why when things go poorly for the Warriors, it snowballs snowballs for no other team in the league. When things are bad for the Warriors, it feels like an avalanche that you can't stop. Like, you could have a 30-point lead, you could blink, and it could be a 5-point game. Because for the Warriors, they don't have a way without actually calling a timeout, they don't have a way to, like, reset themselves. They kind of get into this mode where I've called it in the past YOLO mode, right? I feel like YOLO, I'm rewinding 10 years to the lexicon of kids 10 years ago, but YOLO mode, where they just like kind of freak out. They play at this absurdly fast pace, and they just make error after error after error, and they feed into exactly what their opponent wants them to do, especially when they're on the road. What Jimmy Butler does is, because he can get to the free throw line, he gives the Warriors like a natural reset, a natural ability to just, okay, deep breath. We're okay. We got Steph. We got Dre. Now we got Jimmy Butler. We got Pajemski, who's playing well today. Moses Moody had himself a hell of a first half. We got quality players. If we can just slow down, we will be okay. And that's what happened late in this basketball game. Let's run through what happened here in this one. So the Warriors up by 24 points with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. They led 81-57. And really, honestly, I'm kicking myself for feeling the way that I did, because we have watched this story unfold countless times already this year. But Warriors up 24 with 4 minutes to go in the third. 81-57 was the score. And I'm thinking, wow, this is one hell of a win for the Warriors. One hell of a win for the Warriors. After what happened last night in Dallas against a team that had no centers, now you're going up against a better and healthier Houston team on the road on the back end of a back-to-back when Steph just played the second most minutes in a single game yet this year. That's a tough ask. And the Warriors are up by 24. They're going to blow this team out. Hell of a win. Great work, Warriors. That's how I felt, honestly, and I feel kind of foolish because, again, we've seen this story for the Warriors countless times. And then, of course, that feeling that I had, that optimism, my applause for the Warriors, it like immediately evaporated because right after the Warriors go up 24, Houston closes the third. In the final 4 minutes of the third, they close that third quarter on a 13-1 run. That run continues into the fourth. They score the first four of the fourth, a 17-1 run. They ultimately get within 2 points at 88-86 with 7.5 to go in the fourth. So over 8.5 minutes of game time, right? The final 4 minutes of the third and the first 4.5 of the fourth, a 29-7 run. A 29-7 run in favor of Houston. They get back within two. But then the Warriors, they calmed things down. I see some love already on the YouTube chat. 888-957-9570 is the number to call and text our YouTube chat, though. If you want to join the conversation, youtube.com/957thegame. Everything we do on YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Philmo chiming in on YouTube saying, the best I've ever heard of pods. He might be coming into his own. It was Brandon Pajemski, believe it or not, that kind of steadied the Warriors in that fourth quarter. When Houston got within two, within a span of a minute or two, there were two Brandon Pajemski drives and scores in the paint. And they're kind of like, I don't know if awkward is the right word, but it's his unique way of driving and Euro-stepping and slowing down and pausing and allowing a defender to fly by. And a couple of nice finishes. One of them, I believe, was like a scooping left-handed push shot across the lane as he drove from right to left. A couple of really, really nice finishes from Brandon Pajemski. He calmed the Warriors down there. Of course, he had Curry, who was a volume shooter tonight, 7 for 17 from the field, 5 for 13 from downtown. But as always, Steph hits the big ones, and he made two big ones in the fourth quarter. But as I pointed out earlier, I think what makes the Jimmy Butler acquisition so valuable is in games like this. I mentioned, like, in the middle of that run, just for the Warriors to stay afloat, right? It was the 29-7 run. A chunk of those 7 points for the Warriors during that run over 8.5 minutes of basketball was Jimmy Butler getting to the free throw line. But then to help ice the game, it's Jimmy Butler driving and scoring. There was one moment where after Steph hit both of his threes, right, and that kind of gave the Warriors a little bit of distance, you kind of got that feeling out of your mouth, that taste out of your mouth where you're thinking, uh-oh, they're going to lose this game. Then Steph hits a couple and you got a little bit of breathing room, but it's not over just yet. The defense is then out paying so much attention to Steph Curry. He's on the perimeter. Ball's in the left wing with Draymond. Jimmy Butler sets a screen for Steph's man. Steph, of course, at the three-point line, the defense is going to follow him. It allows Jimmy Butler to cut backdoor, takes the pass from Draymond, easy, uncontested dunk. There's obviously a lot of players that can do that, but I trust very few more than I trust Jimmy Butler to make a play like that and Draymond Green to make a pass like that. Then next possession, after that, the Warriors clear out of side. They give Jimmy Butler the ball in the corner. He drives baseline, pump fake, draws a foul, gets to the free throw line, makes both free throws. Lead gets pushed up to 9, I believe, at that point. And then later, Draymond Green makes a 3, his only 3 of the game. He was 0 for his previous 7 from downtown entering that shot attempt. He makes that one from straight on, and that's essentially the ball game. So I think it's easy to say, you know, all of the other things that Jimmy Butler does for this Warrior team, but it's like, it's crunch time, right? Like, in moments like that where you can just put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands and say, I'm pretty confident he's going to make the right decision. Whether it was to set a screen for Steph and roll, or whether it was to ask for the ball when he's got a mismatch, right? If he's got Aaron Holiday on him, 100 times out of 100, give Jimmy Butler the ball and clear out of side. Now, once he drives, you can cut off his drive, and if he doesn't have a lane to the hoop, you know he's gonna find you. But Jimmy Butler, with the ball in his hands down the stretch, just gives the Warriors another option that they didn't really have. I love Andrew Wiggins, a hell of a Warrior. And I hate that a lot of these conversations kind of turn into Wiggins versus Butler, because frankly, for me, it's no contest. But if you're asking an opponent defensively, down the stretch of a basketball game, when you've got Steph on the floor, and you got Draymond on the floor, and you've got Pajemski and Moody, or whoever it is, would you rather have Wiggins, or would you have Jimmy Butler? And if I'm looking at it from a defensive perspective, I fear Jimmy Butler so much more than I fear Andrew Wiggins. If you're a defender that's checking Andrew Wiggins, you know what? Honestly, it's not ideal, but I can double off of him, and I'll allow the rotation of my defense to recover. I will double off of him to take the ball out of Steph's hands. You can't do that with Jimmy Butler. You cannot do that with Jimmy Butler. And if you do that, as Houston did on that Draymond assist to the Jimmy Butler dunk, Draymond will find a cutting Jimmy Butler, and he will score down low. That is where we see Jimmy Butler's importance. And again, it's not like he had an amazing basketball game. Jimmy Butler scored 19 points, and this is kind of the Jimmy Butler experience. You get, obviously, the playoff games that we remember him with Houston, or pardon me, with Miami, where he just willed the Heat to victory after victory after victory. But, I mean, a ho-hum, 19 points, 6 for 15 from the field. He made his first 3 as a Warrior, 1 for 4 from downtown, but definitely a volume scorer in this game, no doubt. But in the big moments, you know he's going to have a positive impact, and he also impacted you defensively in this basketball game. I've gotten nearly 15 minutes in here to Warriors wrap-up, and again, welcome everybody trickling in. You can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. It's Mark Randy with you. Again, 888-957-9570. You can also join our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. The Warriors' defense was awesome in this basketball game. Now, Houston is not the dynamic offense that, I don't know if I want to say Dallas, because Dallas last night, without Anthony Davis and without Daniel Gafford and without Derek Lively, they don't quite have an insane amount of offensive firepower, but this Houston team does not have an offensive weapon like Kyrie, and when Klay is at his best like he was in the first half against the Warriors, they don't have a three-point shooter like Klay Thompson either. So that's a little bit of a different offensive matchup, but honestly, I was pretty upset with the Warriors' plan defensively last night. It honestly made no sense to me, and there's been so much talk today on this station and around the Bay about Buddy Hield, and Buddy Hield needs to be benched, and Buddy Hield can't play defense, and if he's not making his shots, what is he worth? And I understand that. And by the way, Buddy Hield did not start today. Buddy Hield only played 14 minutes today. I think that's the right adjustment by Steve Kerr. I'm not disagreeing with all of you talking about Buddy Hield. He has obviously been a really rough play for the Warriors of late. If his threes are not falling, He cannot possibly have a positive impact, because he does not do anything else well enough to overcome the lack of shot making. But frankly, for me, last night, it falls so much more on Steve Kerr and the coaching staff than Buddy Hield. Because you're telling me the best idea you have is to throw Buddy Hield on Kyrie Irving? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And if you're going to do that, you got to double him from the jump, or at least, once he starts getting going, you got to double him and just make him give the ball up. I mean, the Mavericks last night are playing a bunch of dudes that we haven't even heard of. Unless you're like a dedicated league pass expert, you don't know a lot of the Mavericks that played in that game last night. So if that was your strategy, you're just asking to get beat, by the way. And Kyrie scored 42 on you because it took you until the final few minutes of the game to realize to send a double team his way, or to, I don't know, put Gary Payton the second on him. And that's relitigating what happened last night. I don't want to do that. My only point is I was absolutely dumbfounded by the strategy defensively last night. It made no sense to me. I thought from the jump tonight, the defensive strategy, the game plan, it made so much more sense. And again, this is a different offensive team, Houston, than Dallas. No doubt about it. Dallas has a Kyrie and they have a Klay. Houston does not have either of those kinds of players. Although someone like Jalen Green is a hell of a basketball player, and the Warriors played him off the floor in the second half. Jalen Green in the second half only played 5 minutes and 47 seconds. The Warriors played a 21-point-per-game scorer off the floor. How did they do it? They had a solid game plan, opposite of last night. Again, I don't get what the game plan was last night, but tonight, it was a great game plan. The Warriors said to the Rockets, okay, Houston, you're not a very good three-point shooting team. We're going to dare you to beat us from downtown. We are not going to let you get anything easy in the paint. We're not going to let you get anything easy from two. The Rockets ultimately shoot 41% from the field, 33% from downtown. From two, the Rockets were what? 26? Let's see if I can do this math really quickly. The Rockets they made 26 of their, really quickly here, 26 of their 57 attempts from two. 26 of 57, which is just a little bit under 50%, about 45%. You will take that from two. Houston is a great paint team. They get to the rim. Şengün is one of the best scorers down around the rim and in the mid-range. Jalen Green, it's tough to stop him from getting into the paint and penetrating and scoring down low. Amen Thompson, one of the most promising young players in the league, and by the way, a Bay Area guy himself. He is a menace in the paint and within like 15 feet. The Warriors took away the Rockets' bread and butter, and as a result, they hold Houston to 98 points in this basketball game. It was a great plan of attack. The Warriors' defense was solid. It was based in, again, a logical defensive plan, and they stuck to it all night, and it won them this basketball game tonight. The final score, again, 105-98. I thought the Warriors' defense was really good in this game. Now, again, things kind of get hairy for this Warrior team at time. Again, there was an 8.5-minute stretch spanning the third and fourth quarters where Houston went on a 29-7 run. A 29-7 run. And part of it, and I saw a lot of this on Twitter. I'm seeing some of it in our YouTube chat as well right now. A lot of people wondering what Steve Kerr was doing with his rotations. And honestly, I agree just a little bit. So the Warriors lead by 24, 81-57, with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. And the Warriors put out on the floor after a couple of subs. The five is Pajemski, Pat Spencer, Buddy Hield, Guy Santos, and Kevon Looney. Now, there were then relatively quickly some subs. Jimmy Butler came in for Spencer after a couple of minutes. Quentin.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Post came in for Kevon Looney, and then at the very, very, very tail end of the quarter, Stephen Curry came in for Guy Santos. But at one point, you had, again, Pajemski, Spencer, Hield, Santos, and Looney. And I kind of go both ways on this because on one hand, you're up by 24 points, and you think, hey, maybe I get a little bit of greedy here. I can give Steph, I can give Draymond, I can give Jimmy Butler some time to rest, to breathe. Maybe that group keeps it around a 20-point lead, and hell, maybe we don't have to play Steph, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, much or at all in the fourth quarter if things go well. It's a major risk, no doubt. And what happened was Houston immediately goes on a major run. Warriors then try to react with subs, but those subs can't quell the run. And ultimately, it's a two-point game with 7.5 minutes left in this basketball game. And I don't know how you felt. You can let me know, 888-957-9570. I felt at that point, Warriors probably going to lose this basketball game. They're probably going to lose because, again, we have watched this story unfold time and time and time again this year. But they bounce back and they manage to get it done. On the flip side, though, I think this is where a lot of Warrior fans are coming from. And before I even get to that, the baseline of all of this, of course, is the Warriors are coming off of a back-to-back, right? The Warriors are coming off of a back-to-back. The night before, I have it here. The night before, Steph Curry played 37 minutes, second most he's played in a game this year. Jimmy Butler played 35 minutes last night, and Draymond Green played 31 minutes last night. Okay, so those three coming off of pretty heavy workloads, specifically Steph and Jimmy Butler. And then tonight, you're thinking, oh, maybe we can buy him a little bit of rest because we're up by 24 points. On the flip side, you can say, you know what? Let's put the pedal to the metal. Steph, stay out there. Dre, stay out there. Jimmy, stay out there. Maybe two of the three, whichever two you prefer. And you say, you know what? Instead of hoping that a bench unit can keep this a 20-ish point game going into the fourth, let's try to add on to it and make it a 30-point lead going into the fourth. Because then, guess what? If you control the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, you might not need to play Steph or Dre or Jimmy for the entire fourth quarter. And what happens as a result? Because you took a risk and rested Steph for the final four, which again is normal. It's the normal rotation pattern for Steph. You know what else is the normal rotation pattern for Steph? Resting the first 4 minutes of the fourth. And what did Steph Curry had to do in this basketball game? Because the Warriors, without Steph on the floor to close the third, gacked the lead away. They had to play Steph the entire fourth quarter. The entire fourth quarter. Steph played every second of the fourth quarter in this one. Draymond Green played 7 minutes and 43 seconds in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Butler played 7.5 in the fourth quarter. Just think, if you divvy up those minutes in a different way, instead of playing all 12 of the fourth, you could have played all 12 of the third. Maybe the lead is 30, and then you don't need to play Steph at all, and you save him 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's one way to think of it. But there's risk both ways. It's very easy to second guess now. However, what I would say, considering the Warriors now have three guys that you trust beyond belief in Steph and Dre and Jimmy Butler, I don't know how you can ever throw out a unit that does not include one of those three guys. You have to have at least one of those three guys on the floor at any given time. And you didn't. Again, the five on the floor when that Houston run began, Pajemski, Spencer, Heald, Santos, and Looney. I mean, that is a strange five, no doubt. And again, Steve Kerr's thinking, back-to-back, day before the All-Star break begins. Steph played 37 minutes last night. We're up by 24. Maybe I get lucky here. I don't have to play Steph at all the rest of the game, and I can save him a little bit. Did not happen. It's a risk, though, but that was the thought process, and in the moment, I understand it. But then the run happens, and you're grasping at straws. You try to stem the tide, and nothing does it. And you ultimately got to hope that your team can pull it out in a clutch game. And as a result, you had to play Stephen Curry the entire fourth quarter to get it done. But that is where this game turned, no doubt. Warriors up by 24. They make some subs, and then Houston comes climbing all the way back in this basketball game. Again, Steph had to play 12 minutes the entire fourth quarter of this basketball game. It was a really rough shooting night for the Warriors, and I think this is also what the Jimmy Butler acquisition does for the Warriors, and I was kind of getting to this a little bit earlier, but I kind of steered the point in a different direction. What the Jimmy Butler acquisition does for the Warriors is it allows them to win basketball games in new ways. In new ways. The Warriors shot 26.8% from downtown. Give me a sec here. I can bring up some of the numbers. I tracked this after the Houston game. The Warriors, when they shoot sub 30% from downtown on the year, I think before the Milwaukee game, they were 1-6. Let me confirm what that would be now for the Warriors. If they shoot sub 30% from downtown. The Warriors have shot sub 30% from deep now in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, including tonight. Tonight is just the third win they've ever done it in. 3-7 are the Warriors in which they have shot sub 30% from downtown. Two of those wins have come with Jimmy Butler. In the Jimmy Butler era, the Warriors have shot sub 30% from deep three times. Three of the four games that the Warriors have shot sub 30% from downtown, three of the four games that Jimmy Butler has played in, the Warriors have shot sub 30% from downtown. They are 2-1 in those three games. That would mean they're 1-6 in all other games. So what Jimmy Butler does is when the shots aren't falling from downtown, they can still win basketball games. And that has not been the case for the Warriors at all. The Warriors have been a team that lives and dies by the three. And of late, ever since their 12-3 beginning, like it's the story of Buddy Hield. It's Buddy Hield's season story. Great early in the year because he was making threes, the team was making threes. Since then, one of the worst records in basketball. We can keep it a buck because they have not been able to shoot the ball. But the Warriors, with Jimmy Butler, again, in the four games that he's played, the Warriors have been sub 30% from downtown. Three of those four, they're 2-1 of those three games. 1-6 elsewhere without Jimmy Butler shooting sub 30 from downtown. Jimmy Butler gives the Warriors an avenue to winning basketball games when they're not shooting well. And they did not have that flat out, point blank period. They did not have that ability pre-Jimmy Butler. Did the Warriors get worse as a shooting team after this trade? Yeah, Wiggins is a better shooter than Jimmy Butler. But did they gain more in other areas that helps them win basketball games? Yes, there is no doubt. They're now 3-1 with Jimmy Butler tonight, the most impressive win of the group, right? You have a win over a pretty lifeless Chicago team who just made a big deadline deal shipping out Zach LaVine. You have a win over Milwaukee without Giannis. You have a really, really, really bad loss last night in Dallas, and you have, again, by far the most impressive win tonight against a quality Houston team who is going through a bit of a rough patch, but still a very good basketball team on their home floor. You're on a back-to-back, so are they, but you it affects you more because you're more of a veteran-laden team. Stephen Curry played 37 minutes the night prior, and you win this basketball game without having any kind of shooting night from downtown. They were 11 of 41 from deep. 11 of 41, 27% from downtown. And you win this basketball game on the road against a Houston team who entering the night was 14 games above 500. That's an impressive, impressive win. And they do not get it done without Jimmy Butler. He gives them a way to win games in other ways. And how does he do it? It's easy buckets in the paint, and it's getting to the free throw line. How many of you have noticed it's not just about Jimmy Butler's free throws? It's not just about that. And let me bring up Stephen Curry's game log here for you. In his last four games since Jimmy Butler joined the Warriors, have you noticed Stephen Curry's free throw attempts climbing every single game? With Jimmy Butler, Steph's free throw attempts, 8 in the win in Chicago, 9 in the win in Milwaukee, 4 last night, and another 9 tonight. We're talking about a player in Stephen Curry who has to beg to get whistles at times. Jimmy Butler's presence, it gets opponents in foul trouble, and then when opponents are hand-checking and grabbing and pulling and pushing Steph along the perimeter, guess what? That's a foul, and if you're in the bonus because Jimmy Butler willed your team to the bonus, those are free throws for Stephen Curry. That is also the impact of Jimmy Butler. That does not show up in the stat sheet. It's not quantifiable on a box score, but it's what Jimmy Butler does. He makes life easier for Steph on a possession-in-and-possession-out basis. He makes defenses respect him on the court, which opens things up for Steph, but it also allows him to get to the free throw line more often. Not because he is necessarily changes the way that officials are calling Stephen Curry games and fouls against the defenders of Steph, but because he just gets opponents in the bonus, and others can then capitalize on that, and that's what is happening as well. All right, time for a break here on Warriors Wrap Up. Always time for your calls and your text. I'll run through the YouTube chat as well here during our break. 888-957-9570, youtube.com/957thegame. We're going to hear from Coach Kerr, also Steph Curry, and a whole lot more. It's Warriors Wrap Up after the Dubs knock off the Rockets. 105-98 is the final score. A hell of a win to go into the All-Star break, a game above 500 at 28-27. It's Mark Randy with you. More Warriors Wrap Up next on 95.7 The Game.
Curry's on the right side. Curry slowly comes up, ball goes to Draymond, left corner, bounce pass Butler, right down Broadway, a two-hand slam. The Warriors designed that perfectly because of all the gravity, all the defenders were looking at Curry.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday and happy All-Star break. The Warriors and the NBA, I guess we got, what, one more NBA game going on right now, I believe, Clippers-Jazz. Oh, that game, oh, regulation just ended in Salt Lake City, but it is tied. So we've got 5 more minutes of a basketball, NBA basketball pre-All-Star break. Clippers and Jazz going to overtime. Warriors should be rooting for Utah on that one as they hope that they maybe could catch the Clippers in the second half. But we're essentially at the All-Star break. The Warriors are officially at the All-Star break as they knock off the Houston Rockets tonight, 105-98. Warriors' next game, 8 days from now, the 21st of February, Friday in Sacramento against the Kings. And then on Sunday at home on the 23rd of February, that is what, 10 days from now, when they retire Andre Iguodala's jersey. It's a big day because the Mavericks are in town, so Klay is back in town for the third time. They're retiring Andre Iguodala's jersey in that game, and it's Jimmy Butler's first home game as a Warrior. All of that happening on Sunday the 23rd, but the Warriors' first game post-All-Star break is Friday the 21st in Sacramento. Ultimately, the Warriors go into the break with a good feeling. They got this win tonight. 105-98 is the final. The Dubs now 28-27. The Warriors 3-3 on this road trip after it started really terrible. You lost in Salt Lake City. You lost in L.A. versus the Lakers. You win three of the final four, and that coincides with the acquisition and the debut of Jimmy Butler. Again, a 3-3 road trip, but with Jimmy Butler in these last four games, 3-1. Now the Warriors have the All-Star break off to rest, although a number of players on the roster will be participating in some way, shape, or form in All-Star festivities. The good news for the Warriors is you don't got to fly anywhere else to do it. You just got to fly home from Houston tonight. You can sleep in your own bed every night, and you will be well rested by the time the second half of the season begins Friday of next week, 8 days from now in Sacramento against the Kings. All right. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy with you. We'll hear from Steve Kerr. We'll hear from Steph Curry coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's go out to the phone lines after this Warriors win. Again, 105-98. 888-957-9570 is the number to call and text. We've also got the YouTube chat open for business as well, youtube.com/957thegame. Up first is Tony in Alameda. What's up, Tony? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Good, good, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I got three things to bring up, okay? You know, this lead we have pretty much all the time, it seems like we cannot hold that lead. I don't know what is up with that. It's like a pattern. Tonight, we almost blew it again. Thank God the other team was not making their shot like in the final 4 or 5 minutes, I think. Okay, you cannot do that against Boston, OKC, all these good teams. They'll make those easy shots, okay? And somehow we have to cut that down. That's a big lead, 24 points.
Yep.
And it became what, 4 points? Oh, my God.
They got within 2 points, Tony.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my God. I said to myself, I'm going to change this channel. I don't want to see how they blow it up the end. But in a way, I said, let me give you one more time. Then Curry hits a three. Then walking to the bench when he's a three, Steve Kerr, I saw him with a big smile. It's like, that's nothing. Don't. I said, come on. There's no time to smile now, Steve Kerr. Okay, he hit a big three, and we're still up by five only. And the fact that he should have been pissed off about what's going on. But, okay, that's another thing. Also, the referee, I realize the referee, we're not getting the benefit of it. You know, like last night, kickball. What is up with that? And tonight, Green was holding Looney, and they challenged it. And if that was us, it would have been foul, and they would have shut the ball, and we lost the challenge. Okay, that's one of those things that really gets me. And, my God, I'm going to bring it up last night, how we lost. No, P.J. Williams, A.D. was out, Lively is out. How can we take advantage of that? Why can't we take advantage of those great players and then losing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it, Tony. I think you bring up a lot of good points. I mean, when it comes to last night in Dallas, I mean, I am as confused as you and the Warriors' game plan in that game. I talked a little bit about it defensively. I don't know why the Warriors thought Buddy Hield on Kyrie Irving made any sense. The only way I can think of it making any sense at all is if you say, okay, Buddy is going to be the guy that, like, one-on-one we match up with him, but he's never really going to be one-on-one because we're going to send a double his way every single time. Like, that I could understand. Like, Buddy Hield on Kyrie no doubt needs a double team. Like, that's just the reality of it. So if that was your game plan, okay, I could understand that. But that was not the game plan. The Warriors did not send a double Kyrie's way until late in the fourth quarter. It makes no sense. Last night felt like a match made in heaven for GP2 just to mirror Kyrie Irving's minutes and make life as miserable on Kyrie as possible. Because Moses Moody tonight, he did a hell of a job defensively on Jalen Green. He essentially played Jalen Green off the floor. Jalen Green, not even 6 minutes in the second half. Moody did not score in the second half either. That's okay. He did not have as good of a second half. But he was the Jalen Green stopper tonight. And if you don't watch a lot of Houston basketball, Jalen Green is one of the most explosive athletes in the league, gets to the rim, dunks on you, can elevate over you, has crazy acrobatic finishes around the rim. Averages about 21 points per game. Really solid young player. Same draft class as Kuminga and Moody. And in fact, he played on the G League Ignite team with Kuminga leading up to the NBA draft. Amazing athlete. not sold on him as a future star, but amazing athlete, and has had a pretty good year, 21 points per game. Moses Moody played him off the floor. Okay, that's tonight. Put that aside. I don't think Moses Moody, which was the adjustment the Warriors made last night after Buddy Hield was getting abused over and over and over again by Kyrie, the Warriors put Buddy Hield on him. That doesn't make sense to me either. Moses Moody playing, he's in the middle of the best stretch of his career. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. The first half he played tonight, I think one of the best halves of basketball I've ever seen him play. He was amazing in the first half. I have the numbers here for you. Moses Moody in the first half had 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from downtown, blocked Jalen Green twice, and drew a charge on Alperen Şengün. He was awesome in the first half, Moses Moody was. Now, again, did not score in the second half, but the first half, one of the best halves I've seen him play. But he does not have the lateral quickness to stick with Kyrie Irving. I don't know why that was the adjustment. The adjustment should be, or the plan from the beginning should be, double Kyrie the second he touches the ball, or just plant GP2 on him and say, you're going to get some, I know that, but GP2 is going to make your life a living hell. Have fun, Kyrie. Try to beat us with that guy on you. Not that GP2 is the best possible matchup. Like, if you could dream up a matchup for Kyrie, I don't think it would be GP2 either. But considering what the Warriors have, now that there's no Andrew Wiggins and, hell, no Dennis Schroeder, I think that's the Warriors' best option. So the plan last night made no sense. That was the defensive half of it. I think what our caller was talking about was more so the offensive game plan. The Mavericks last night are down Lively. They're down Anthony Davis. They're down Gafford. They were down Dwight Powell. They were down PJ Washington. Legitimately, no big men. Why were the Warriors settling for so many threes time and time and time and time again? Get to the rim. There's no one there to block or contest your shot. That seemed confusing to me. So to our caller's point, I agree there. I do agree there. Tonight, though, I thought the Warriors' plan made a whole lot more sense, specifically on the defensive end. They dared Houston to beat the Warriors from outside, and Houston just simply not a good enough shooting team to do that. The Warriors limited the Rockets inside the arc, and that's what helped win them this basketball game. I also think what our caller brought up was this worrying trend of the Warriors struggling to hold leads. I think what has changed for the Warriors is Jimmy Butler, honestly. I think Jimmy Butler has changed this for the Warriors. And last night is an example of maybe that works against me, because that was a clutch game that the Warriors lost. But I think as we get a larger sample of the Warriors in crunch time and in clutch time with Jimmy Butler, I think this trend will be reversed a little bit. The Warriors are unable to hold leads at times because, again, when things start going wrong, they snowball. And the Warriors don't have a way, other than Steve Kerr calling a timeout and yelling at his guys for 60 minutes, they don't have a way of stemming that tide. Like, three-point shots, sometimes they're going to fall, sometimes they're not. And if they're not falling, you are feeding the opposing team's run and their fast break, and then you kind of in turn get rushed and you commit a lazy pass, you throw the ball too high, you commit a bad turnover, you drag your pivot foot, you set an illegal screen, and things snowball. The arena gets loud, the pressure gets ratcheted up, and suddenly you're kind of freaking out, right? Like, that's the nature of a run. The Warriors have no way to, like, just pause the game and take a deep breath and figure things out. What Jimmy Butler does is he gives the Warriors those moments. How do you do that? By getting to the free throw line. The Warriors were in the middle of this bad run, right? The 29-7 Houston run. 29-7 Houston run over 8.5 minutes of game time spanning the third and fourth quarters that turned a 24-point Warrior lead to a 2-point basketball game. How did the Warriors stem that tide? They posted up Jimmy Butler. Really, it was more of like a seal. He got his man in front of him in the paint, and the Warriors threw the entry pass over the top of the defense. Jimmy Butler leaps, catches, gets fouled, and goes to the free throw line. And what do free throws do? They do a number of things. First of all, they allow you to get a couple of easy points. And I guess for the Warriors, it hasn't always been easy at the free throw line, but Jimmy Butler, a pretty good free throw shooter, and he made both of them in that moment. So you get a couple of points. It allows you to kind of kill some of the momentum that an opposing team might have, like Houston had in that moment, right? The crowd, if they were on their feet, they probably start sitting back down. They're not screaming. They're not clapping. They're not going crazy, right? On the Jumbotron in Houston, it's not like the make noise graphic and it's shaking, right? It calms everything down. That's two things. The other thing it does, number three, is it allows you to set your defense. You can set your defense on the other end. You're not missing a three, and it's not leading to a fast break opportunity the other way. You're allowing your defense to get set. A fourth thing, and this kind of goes same hand-in-hand to that last one, but I'm going to count it separately because I want to get to an even five. I have one more after this. The fourth point is it allows you to kind of do what you do during a timeout anyway. Strategy. Steve Kerr calls over Steph, calls over Moody, calls over Draymond. Draymond grabs Moody and says, hey, do this instead of that. Jimmy Butler talks to Bajemski, say, hey, when they're coming off of a screen here, I need you to step up and defend him there, right? Like, it allows you to talk strategy and to adjust in real time without calling a timeout. That, again, kind of similar to getting your defense set. And then the fifth one, for the Golden State Warriors in moments like that, is, I forget what four I've already said. There's another one here. The Warriors get the easy points. The fifth one is this. The Warriors allow Stephen Curry and their veterans to catch their breath. I mean, these are dudes. Steph Curry played 37 minutes last night. And he played 35 minutes tonight. That's 72 minutes over a span of two nights. Like, you need those moments to catch your breath and to get your legs back and to gear up for the final few minutes of this basketball game. That's everything that free throws does. And the Warriors didn't really have that until Jimmy Butler came here. And again, as I talked about earlier, it's not just about the Warriors it's not just about Jimmy Butler's free throw numbers. Now, he can obviously get to the free throw line. Of course, he can get to the free throw line. But he gets opponents in foul trouble, and he allows a random hip check, a random grab, a random push of Steph 30 feet from the basket. That turns into free throws late in quarters. That's the Jimmy Butler impact. Again, I said it on our previous segment, and I'll say it again. The Warriors, when shooting sub 30% from downtown, right? When their threes are not falling. Before Jimmy Butler became a Warrior, the Warriors were 1-6 in those games. Sub 30% from downtown without Jimmy Butler, Warriors 1-6. With Jimmy Butler, again, he's only been here for four games. The Warriors have shot sub 30% from deep three of those four. In those three games where they've shot sub 30 from deep with Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are 2-1. Jimmy Butler gives the Warriors a way to win basketball games when their outside shots are not falling. And prior to Jimmy Butler, the Warriors had almost no recourse. If their shots from outside are not falling, they're going to lose that basketball game. And hell, even sometimes when they were making their shots from outside, they would still lose that basketball game. That has changed with Jimmy Butler. That has changed with Jimmy Butler. And I think the other thing, and this kind of goes hand in hand with that, is it's the turnovers. The Warriors have also taken care of the ball a lot better since Jimmy Butler got here. The Warriors, since Jimmy Butler got here, are taking care of the basketball a whole lot more. The Warriors, since Jimmy Butler has been acquired, 15 turnovers, 9 turnovers, 16 turnovers, and then tonight, 11 turnovers. 11 in there, you got a 9 in there, 15 and 16, not incredible, but it has honestly been an improvement at times for the Warriors. And specifically tonight, it was big. How the Warriors won this basketball game, specifically this one, without shooting well, I mean, the Warriors shot 39% from the field. 39. 27% from downtown. How the hell did they win this basketball game? It's because they had the major advantage at both the free throw line and in the turnover battle. Warriors tonight, 24 for 27 from the free throw line. The Rockets, 10 for 18. You got to the free throw line 9 more times, you made 14 more. You were plus 14 from the stripe. How about the turnover battle? Houston committed 20 turnovers, turned into 25 Warriors points off turnovers. The Warriors committed 11 turnovers, turned into 14 Houston points off turnovers. You committed 9 fewer turnovers and you scored 11 more points off turnovers than Houston. That in a game in which you win by 7, that's the game right there. That is the game right there. Plus 14 on free throws, plus 9 on points off turnovers, you win by 7. The Warriors would have gotten blown out if they lost those battles. That is where Jimmy Butler helps. He calms things down. The Warriors don't get into this frenetic, crazy mode. I call it the YOLO mode, where they commit just bad turnover after bad turnover after bad turnover. He will not let them. He calms them down. And as a result, the Warriors are able to take that deep breath, take care of the ball, get more field goal attempts up, and win basketball games. And they did that again. Plus 14 from the line and plus 9 points off of turnovers in a game in which you win by 7. That was big for the Warriors tonight. And of course, there was also the adjustment made before the tip. Buddy Hield did not start. It was Moses Moody in for him. It was Pajemski in for Hield at the 2. And then it was Moses Moody in for Post. Moody to the 4 and Draymond slides to the 5. This is a Houston team. They don't really play Steven Adams a ton. He played 5.5 minutes tonight. They don't really have a true normal center either. Alperen Şengün is a big body, and he's a quality player, but he's not like the crazy big body that's going to wear Draymond out over the course of an entire basketball game. Draymond can play 5 in a matchup like this, but it's a little tougher when you take on someone like an Anthony Davis or like a Nikola Jokic. That is a more challenging matchup for Draymond. He can do it in bursts, but not for the course of a whole basketball game. Draymond has the ability to play the 5 a little bit more in matchups like last night when Dallas does not have a big, and matchups like tonight where you've got Şengün, who Draymond is decently adept at handling. But that was also an adjustment. And Buddy Hield tonight only played 14 minutes, was 1 for 5 from the field, 0 for 4 from downtown, scored 2 points. Score 2 points. Buddy Hield, if he's not making his shots, you just simply can't play him. That's, I think, where the Warriors should be with Buddy Hield. Okay, let's hear from Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr addressed the media postgame, let's hear from him. We got a lot to get into still. We're going to hear from Stephen Curry as well, who was the walk-off interview on NBC Sports Bay Area. Bonte, Moley, and Zina handling the duties tonight. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, Steve Kerr, post-game addressing the media after the Warriors' 105-98 win over the Rockets in Houston as they go into the All-Star break 28-27. Warriors enjoying some time off now as they fly back to the Bay Area. Here's Steve Kerr, post-game in Houston.
I thought we executed pretty well several times down the stretch. We had the one turnover when Steph tried to throw it over the top, but about 3 other plays where we executed really well. And, Jimmy got the layup off the, from Dre. Got a couple of other plays where we got, a good look or, free throws, and that allowed us to set our defense up. So, it's good to have to finish the game that way. Obviously, you always prefer a blowout if you can get it and rest guys. But, we have to learn how to close games. I mean, we have not done that well, and we didn't do it well last night, obviously. So that was an important game for us. We think Jimmy's presence and skill is going to allow us to finish games much better than we have so far this year. So tonight was a good example of that, and hopefully a sign of things to come.
Are you seeing a chemistry build between the 3, Draymond, and Steph? And how would you assess Jimmy after, what is now, 4 games, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy is, he's the real deal, I mean, just a complete basketball player, methodical, under control all the time, plays at his own pace, never turns it over, sees the game, and then can get to the line frequently. So, great closer, not in the traditional sense where he's going to be Kevin Durant and make 4 straight mid-range jumpers, but it's more of a complete game, get to the line, make the right pass, get somebody else an open look, get a defensive stop, get a rebound. He's a fantastic player.
What did you make of that starting unit tonight, the small group, and then with Buddy going to the bench and pausing and starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, we felt like it was the right time to do it. I think Brandon has played so well over the last couple weeks that I think he needs to be in that starting group now. He gives Steph another ball handler, decision maker. He makes a lot of plays out of nothing with his brain and his skill. So it was good to get him out there. I imagine he's going to be out there now, as a starter for a while. And obviously with Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, and I thought Moses complimented those guys really well too. And so yeah, we'll see how it goes from here. We got JK coming back hopefully within a couple of weeks, and so we always have options. But I think BP's got to be out there.
I guess just kind of big picture, right? Going into the break, having some time off, where do you feel like you guys are at this juncture?
This was a huge game for us, especially after the disappointment of last night. We needed to go into the break feeling good. Winning 3 out of 4 on the road since Jimmy's arrival, I think that's a great sign. So I just feel like everybody is in desperate need of a break, myself included. And I think these next 5 or 6 days will be fantastic for everybody, just to fill up the cup, re-energize, and come back for the stretch run, which is, 27 games. It's, after the break, it always feels like a sprint. And so I'm excited because I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
All right, that's Steve Kerr postgame earlier tonight in Houston as the Warriors gearing up to get back on a plane, fly back to the Bay Area. And then Steve Kerr is headed back down south, headed to San Diego, which is his off-season home, and enjoys some time off. He said he's going to be playing some golf, get away from the game a little bit. There was a number of Warriors who are involved in All-Star festivities. In fact, 8 of them: Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Moses Moody, Buddy Hield, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pat Spencer, Brandon Pajemski, and Jackson Rowe will represent the Warriors in some way, shape, or form at All-Star Weekend. The good news for the Warriors is they don't have to send all of those players across the country somewhere. They get to stay here at home as Chase Center is hosting, really, the Bay Area as a whole. There will be some events at the Oakland Arena, the old Oracle Arena, that is hosting some of these events as well. But nice that those players will get to do it from the comfort of their own home. But it won't be a full and entire break for a number of those players, as there will be, of course, a lot going on over the weekend. But then, of course, the Warriors have everything off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before they play in Sacramento coming up on Friday. Then they're home on the following Sunday against the Mavericks. So there will be time even for those who are involved over the weekend. There will be time for everyone to rest up, to kind of unplug and get geared up mentally and physically for the second half push. As Steve Kerr mentioned, it always seems to be a sprint. 27 games left. It is the unofficial halfway point, right? The All-Star break, you always think of it as the first half and second half, but the Warriors have already played, they've played 55 games already, and there's only 27 left. So we are much, much, much past the halfway point. We'll see what the Warriors do in the final 27 in the second half of the season. But Steve Kerr did say this win was important for them because they're in the process of trying to figure out a way to close games. He said, quote, "We have to learn how to close games," and added, quote, "This was a good game for us. Just think of how different this Warriors season would feel if they close out a few more basketball games." The Warriors have now played 34 clutch games this year. 34. That ties Minnesota and Houston, by the way. Houston also now with 34 clutch games this year. That ties Minnesota for the most clutch games in the NBA this season. The Warriors in those 34 clutch games are 17-17. Just imagine if the Warriors had won 3 more of those clutch games. So instead of being 17-17, they were 20-14. Think of how much different the Warriors would feel. Instead of being 28-27 overall, they would be 31-24. You know where 31-24 would put them? It would put them essentially tied with the Clippers for 6th place. 6th place out of the play-in. You would legitimately be in a position where you felt like being the 6th seed was in your grasp. It's yours to lose. And hell, if things go well, you might be able to catch the Lakers and the Rockets. That's how big of a difference a couple of blown leads here and there are over the course of a season. It's really not that, like, the Warriors aren't that far away from being where they want to be. And Steve Kerr has said publicly, the Warriors' stated goal is being the sixth seed. They have an ability to do that. They have made it difficult on themselves, there's no doubt. Again, if they had just turned three of those absolutely terrible losses into wins, they would essentially be there right now. They would essentially be tied with the Clippers. The Clippers have played two fewer games, so the Warriors would have one more win, but also one more loss. The Clippers would have a percentage points edge on the Warriors. But still, it's very, very, very close. The Warriors would control their own destiny, so to speak, for the sixth seed. The Warriors have hurt themselves. But if in the final 27 games of this regular season, you learn to close basketball games, oh, it's going to look and feel a little bit different the rest of the way. Like, let's just run through some of these terrible Warriors games. And in fact, before I do that, let me remind you that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The Golden State Warriors, let's just run through the schedule. Why don't we? Some of the rough losses, right? San Antonio on the road, late November. You had like a 16 or 17 point lead late in that game. You lose by 10. The very next game, at home against Brooklyn. That was when Dennis Schroeder, two teams ago for Dennis, absolutely decimated you in the second half, and you lost that game by 8 after you held a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Elsewhere, you had a collapse in Denver. You lost by 4 after you were up by, I think, like 8 with a couple minutes left in that basketball game. Other terrible losses. You were in Houston earlier this year in mid-December. You had a lead in the fourth. You lose 91-90. That was the play-in tournament quarterfinal game, right? It's why you're playing Houston 5 times this year, because you had the extra game against them in the play-in tournament. That was a terrible loss. Some others. Let's go. You had Indiana at home. You lost that game by 6. That was another rough one. Elsewhere, you had Toronto. You lose that game by 3 after you were up essentially the whole basketball game. I could keep going because there are others. The point is, the Warriors have had countless games where you felt like, whether it's fair to say should have won, maybe it's better to say they easily could have won, and I'm not here to say the Warriors are really a whole lot better than their 28-27 record. They have earned that 28-27 record, and up to this point, they have been essentially a 500 team. I'm not arguing about that. I'm just saying, if the Warriors, in their final 27, can really put together a plan and to figure out how to win close games, they will be much better in the final 27 than they were in the first 55. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, how much better? Will it be enough to get up to the sixth seed? I don't know. Only time will tell. You might need some help elsewhere to get that done. But they will be much better because Jimmy Butler gives them a way to win basketball games down the stretch. 888-957-9570. More time for your calls and your texts. Also on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame. The 262 chiming in. Love that quote by Kerr. We've got to learn to close games. There's no doubt. I think the other thing that Steve Kerr said that stands out, and I think will probably make some Warrior fans happy, is what he said about Brandon Podziemski in the starting lineup. Here is Steve Kerr talking about Podziemski starting over Buddy Hield again. Here's Coach Kerr.
We felt like it was the right time to do it. I think Brandon has played so well over the last couple of weeks that I think he needs to be in that starting group now. He gives Steph another ball handler, decision maker. He makes a lot of plays out of nothing with his brain and his skill. It was good to get him out there. I imagine he's going to be out there now, you know, as a starter for a while. Obviously with Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, and I thought Moses complimented those guys really well. We'll see how it goes from here. We got JK coming back hopefully within a couple of weeks, so we always have options, but I think BP's got to be out there.
That's not just a one-time thing, a one-game starter, a matchup start, right? Steve Kerr will do that sometimes. Sometimes GP2 will start. Sometimes Looney will start. Sometimes, you know, Draymond will start at the 5 because you got a small team like last night in Denver, or pardon me, in Dallas, although he started post, but not in the second half. Like Steve Kerr will do the one time here and there starter to get the right matchup on the floor immediately. Steve Kerr essentially saying postgame, no, this is not a matchup thing. Brandon Pajemski is going to start at the two going forward, and that's going to be over Buddy Hield. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's probably some Warrior fans who will think it should be Moses Moody over Pajemski and over Hield at the two. And I hear you, but again, much like I talked about last night's game, I don't think Buddy Hield, pardon me, Moses Moody, has the lateral quickness to guard a lot of the quicker, shiftier, driving, slashing threat guards that the Western Conference and the entire NBA has. And it's the challenge when the opposing guard is playing next to Steph Curry, because for as great as Steph Curry is, and I think, frankly, he has been vastly underrated as a defender, he's not going to be the guy that checks Kyrie Irving. He's not going to be the guy that guards Dame. He's not going to be the guy that guards Jamal Murray or guards SGA or guards any of the top guards in the league. That's just not who Steph is. It's never been who he is, and it's especially not him, as he's about a month away from his 37th birthday. Just not who he is, and there's no shame in that. It's just not who Steph is. So you need to have a quality defender on the other guard spot. Buddy Hield is not that. And not just a quality defender, it's a guard in that two spot who can guard perimeter, ball in hand, point of attack players. That's why Wiggins was a really good fit. It's why Klay Thompson, when he was at his peak, was the best two-way player in the league. He was also the best possible dream fit alongside Steph Curry, because he just took every elite guard and said, all right, Steph, no problem, I'll deal with this. And then I'll work off of your gravity, and I'll hit open three after open three. That's what made Klay so great. Wiggins, not the dream fit offensively, but pretty darn good defensively in that regard. Although I don't think has been elite at it this year, at least not when he was a Warrior, but better than the Warriors' other options. I don't think Buddy Hield is that. In fact, I know Buddy Hield is not that. I don't think Moses Moody is that. I don't think he's quick enough laterally. And I don't think Jimmy Butler is that either. Although Butler is a great defender, it's more against threes and fours, and as a team defender and as a help defender, it's not like he's going to take Damian Lillard out of a game or take Kyrie Irving out of a game. Brandon Pajemski, when we're talking about like legitimate starting caliber players, he's probably going to be the one that benefits from the Warriors moving off of Buddy Hield more than anybody else. There will be moments where it's GP2, and important to note, GP2 unavailable tonight, nothing serious. The Warriors did not have him, but I think even if GP2 was available, it would have been a Pajemski start, and it looks like that's how Steve Kerr is going to go moving forward as well. I think that's just kind of it's the only option the Warriors have legitimately is to start alongside Steph. It's Pajemski, and Steve Kerr is actually right as well. Pajemski has been playing really good basketball of late, and he does deserve an opportunity to start. Let's hear from Steph Curry as well. Post-game, he was on the NBC Sports Bay Area post-game show led by our old bud Bonte Hill plus Chris Mullin and Zita Takeda. Steph Curry, post-game, NBC Sports Bay Area, asked about how important it was to go into the All-Star break with a win.
We just wanted to go into the break with a win. Like, it's kind of like just a mental battle to get ready for this game. Quick turnaround, a tough game last night that we felt like we should have won. And for us to come out with a lot of focus in the first half, try to keep the game simple and play solid, not beat ourselves like we did last night. We gave ourselves a buffer. Obviously, Houston came back and played amazing and did it. Had a crazy comeback, but we played with focus down the stretch, executed on both ends. Once we started getting rebounds, we were able to close the deal. That's the way we're supposed to play. Just got to keep it consistent.
Yeah, good to go into the break with a little bit of positive momentum on your side. That's Steph Curry again, post-game NBC Sports Bay Area on the on-court walk-off. And by the way, it took him a second to kind of get the headset on and start talking to the guys on NBC Sports Bay Area, because he was taking in Dub Nation. I don't know if you were watching on NBC Sports Bay Area or if you were listening on 95.7 The Game. First of all, appreciate you. Of course, Tim Roy, the best in the business, and describes the action like none other here on 95.7 The Game. But Steph Curry kind of took a second before talking to Bonte and Molly and Zena, because there were so many Warrior fans who hung around postgame and made their way down towards the very bottom of the lower bowl. And Steph was just like turning his head, looking around and seeing all the Warrior fans. And 16 years in, kind of cool to see him soaking that in still, and clearly how much it means to him, because it means so much to all of us in Dub Nation as well. More Steph Curry postgame with NBC Sports Bay Area talking about building chemistry with Jimmy Butler.
We're always just trying to continue to build chemistry, understand what he does well. You can't really rush him. And the crazy thing is, he's still a little rusty. He would even tell you that. He's trying to get back in game shape. He didn't play consistently early in the season. So for him to get his legs underneath him and for us to understand what he does well, he dominates the paint. He usually makes the right play. He draws a crowd, great passer. So if the game slows down, it's another option to run our offense through to try to create good shots, not be so one-dimensional like we were.
Yeah, and if the game slows down, as Steph Curry said, quote, if the game slows down, let me break the news to you, Steph, and I know you know this. The game will slow down the stretch, and that's why you have been, as a team, pretty darn bad down the stretch, because the game slows down, and as Steph says, they're pretty one-dimensional, at least they have been, but Jimmy Butler gives them another option at that point down the stretch of basketball games. Let's hear a little bit more on Jimmy Butler. Here's Brandon Pajemski post-game talking about Jimmy Butler.
Him being as smart as he is at the game, it makes it easier for the other guys out there. The beauty of him is he's a willing passer, even though he can score kind of whenever. The team's got to pick their poison. If they're going to double, they're going to send two at him, they're going to let him play with the mismatch. And so I think just him having the knowledge of the game just makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. And I think his impact, we've talked about this a little bit in the past about Draymond. His impact, meaning Jimmy Butler's impact, it goes far beyond what you see in the box score, right? I talked about it earlier. Like, you can attribute a lot of the Steph Curry free throws to Jimmy Butler's presence, legitimately, because Jimmy Butler helps just kind of will the Warriors into bonus territory, right? He helps put opponents in foul trouble and gets them over the limit. And then Steph Curry, who gets hip checked all the way out at half court, benefits because he gets two free throws, when in the past it's either not a foul at all, or it's just a foul and side out, and the Warriors don't get free throws because they hadn't been threatening the cup and they hadn't got a team in foul trouble up to that point. One more from Pajemski asked about being inserted back into the starting lineup.
I mean, I just view it as a guard that needs to take out the other team's best guard. And so I knew today just my focus was on Jalen Green, just trying to take him out of the game, take him out of his rhythm. I think for the most part, me and the guys who guarded him did that. But that's just kind of what we need in that other guard spot with Steph. And so we know Jimmy is going to help with the bigger wings, especially when JK comes back. He'll do the same. But who's going to, you know, be that guard that steps up and guards the other team's best guard? And so that'll just kind of be my mindset going forward.
It's a good mindset to have because, again, as I just talked about, that's the most important, I think, characteristic of whoever is starting alongside Steph. And it's why the Buddy Hield starting role never made sense to me, because Buddy Hield can't really guard anybody, especially not the number one guard on an opposing team. I'm not sure Pajemski is the dream matchup there either, but I think he is, over the course of a season, going to be better at defending ones and twos than maybe anybody else on the roster, perhaps other than GP2. And GP2 is kind of the defensive ace. You can throw him against like almost anybody 1-3 or 1-4, and he'll be okay at holding his own. It's not Hield. Moody is an interesting case. The Warriors love him more as a 4 than a 2 or a 3, which means really he's not going to guard a lot of 1s and 2s, although I think, as Pajemski talked about, when he was guarding Jalen Green, he being Moses Moody, he did a pretty good job as well. I mean, he had a couple of blocks on Jalen Green, drew a charge. That wasn't against Jalen Green, but he had a good defensive half in the first half as well. Pajemski was solid. It's not Jimmy Butler. Butler does not have the lateral quickness, I don't think, either. He's more of a defender of threes and fours and a great help defender. The Warriors don't have, like, the elite point-of-attack defender, and that is a major weakness right now. There's no doubt. Like, without Wiggins, and to a lesser degree without Schroeder, but really more so without Wiggins, the Warriors' point-of-attack defense is a weakness. There's no doubt. I'm not pretending that isn't the case. Of course it is. I mean, what? It was Damian Lillard scored 38 a couple of nights ago, and then last night, Kyrie Irving scores 42. Those two elite scoring guards with the ball in their hands combined for 80 the last two games the Warriors have played. It's a major, major weakness. Pajemski maybe is the Warriors' best solution alongside Steph. And Pajemski's playing really good basketball. And oh, by the way, the Warriors lose this basketball game going away without Pajemski tonight. I thought he was really, really good in this basketball game, even though he was a volume scorer, 7 for 17 from the field, 2 for 7 from downtown, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals and a block, and only one turnover with the ball in his hands, an awful lot over his 39 minutes, Pajemski. 39 and a half minutes tonight for Brandon Pajemski in this basketball game. All right, final thing to take care of before we say goodnight, Crashing the Boards, which as always is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. And thanks to Chilton, as always, the Crashing the Boards honor tonight. This is a familiar one. It goes to Kevon Looney. Looney in only 15 minutes and 48 seconds. 9 boards for Kevon Looney, leading the Warriors. The only player with more in this basketball game was Alperen Şengün, who had 13 rebounds, but 9 rebounds for Kevon Looney in only 15 minutes and 48 seconds. He gets the honor of crashing the boards. I can't count how many times he's had that honor this year. It is a lot. Kevon Looney, a rebounding machine. 9 boards tonight for Kevon Looney, and that is Crashing the Boards, again, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. All right, up next for the Warriors, the All-Star break. There are, again, 8 players that will be competing in some way, shape, or form in All-Star weekend festivities. Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Moses Moody, Buddy Hield, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pat Spencer, Brandon Pajemski, and Jackson Rowe. For all your All-Star weekend coverage, keep it locked to 95.7 The Game on social, at 957 The Game on both Twitter and Instagram, even on TikTok, on Facebook as well. All of our coverage will be there for you over the weekend. It should be a really fun weekend as the NBA All-Star Game and Weekend is back in the Bay for the first time in 25 years. Looking forward to being out at Chase and the Oakland Arena for all the festivities this weekend. Should be a ton of fun. Warriors next game is next Friday, 8 days from now in Sacramento against the Kings. But tonight, the Warriors get that win. Again, the final score 105-98, and they go into the break winners of 3 of their final 4 and with a record of 28-27. All right, for everyone here at 95.7 The Game, thank you so much for listening. Cam Williams behind the glass, Steven Rizzotto chopping up all the sound from Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski, you just heard. Shout out to Steven as always. My name is Mark Rainey signing off. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in tonight. We got a lot more to talk about tomorrow on 95.7 The Game as we go into All-Star Weekend, so make sure you stay tuned beginning at 6 in the morning with the Morning Roast, Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. Thanks for listening. My name is Mark Rainey signing off. We'll talk next time here on 95.7 The Game.